us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word that reminds us that your Son is now with you. Your word that challenges us to continue his work and his message here on earth. Help us, God. Help us to hear it, to receive it, to know it is the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There is a tale of a great English actor by the name of MacReady. MacReady was once asked by a preacher, "What is the difference between you and me?" You see, the actor appeared before crowds night after night proclaiming fiction, and people listened with delight. The preacher spoke of the essentials and the unchanged truths of God. Yet, most listened with no passion upon their hearts. MacReady responded to the preacher by saying, "I present fiction as though it were true. You present truth as though it were fiction." And you know, he was right. The authority that we so desperately want comes when people's speech and actions coincide, say the same thing. That's what was so remarkable about Jesus. When Jesus spoke truth to power, the people were amazed, and as we read over and over in the Gospels, because he spoke as one with authority. Today, pretty much all of our readings speak about this sense of authority, this sense of power, which I think is a big issue in our world today. And I'm not talking about military power, but I'm talking about power between people. Not just in politics, but our own personal power. I would venture to say that Washington right now is paralyzed because both sides are trying to claim power, nothing more, nothing less. The problem is that they, like most of us, have the wrong understanding of what power really is. If you look up power in Wikipedia, you read, "Power is a measure of an entity's ability to control its environment, including the behavior of other entities." And I think that's probably how most of us think of power, that ability to be able to control. But yet, when we read 1 Peter, we hear words like humility, being with each other. And the author of 1 Peter is saying that's the real power. Power in humility. And we see it throughout the life of Jesus. In a commentary on today's lectionary, Louis Crewe wrote in Witness Magazine, "According to Scripture, our power is in our weakness. Any rank or position we have, we give up, use up, or risk to serve others. Power rightly belongs to God alone. And we must exercise any power entrusted to us on behalf of the powerless." And isn't that what we're seeing all over the Middle East and the Mediterranean, the Arab Spring as it's been called, when common people, common powerless people by the world standards, have stood up to those that we would call powerful, those with the money, those with the armies, and they brought those powers down. Who's got the power? Is it those with the guns? Or those who stand with brothers and sisters and demand justice? I find it interesting because, you know, as we hear in Acts, even the disciples didn't get it at the end. Laurel Dykstra writes for Sojourners magazine. She wrote a commentary on our passage, and she kind of does her own rather common interpretation of the passage today from Acts. She writes, in a final over-the-top demonstration of not getting it, an unspecified group of followers demand of the resurrected Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And she says, my crew paraphrase is, great, you're not dead. Now we're going to kick some Roman tush and take our rightful place as kings? In response, Jesus promises an entirely different kind of power and then promptly disappears into a cloud as though in exasperation. So the disciples are standing gawking up at the place where Jesus had disappeared when two men appear and ask, why? Why are you looking up? Many of us are looking for Jesus in the wrong places. Our faith lives consist too much of standing and looking up. And we could use a poke in the eye sometimes to get us to look down at the world around us, the one standing next to us. Power comes with standing with our brothers and sisters. And we don't have to worry about anything. Because as the author of 1 Peter says, the God of all grace who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. The thing that people who consider that they have the worldly power fear the most are people who are not afraid. Because when someone is not afraid, there's nothing you can hold over them. And that's what Jesus exhibited in his life. He did what he had to do. He did what he felt he was called to do because he wasn't afraid. And that's why Pilate said, don't you know what I can do to you? The power I have over your life or your death? But Jesus said, you don't have any power over me unless it was given to you from above. We live in a world that seriously needs to rethink what power truly is. Because we are not living as if we believe or even wish to believe in Jesus' description of power. We have to become passionate about it. Passionate in looking at those beside us and not those above us. You know, in our Sunday school program, that's the thing I hope our kids get the most, is that Jesus wants them to be concerned about their brothers and sisters. Yes, it's about memorizing the passages a little bit or getting to know them and what they say, but most important, and the way they learn that, is by seeing these people who take their time and share their time with them in teachers because they're important. That's why I have the time up here to show that they're important. And then they can see the importance in other people. Our communion table today is set for a meal. I don't think any of us would consider a little thimble of grape juice and a piece of bread as a power lunch. And yet, it's the most powerful meal there ever was. So we need to eat at this table. And we need to stop turning the biblical truths into fiction. Amen.